Studio 360.
Danny McBride has pretty much made a career out of playing total jerks that you kind of love anyway. Egomaniacs like Kenny Powers in the HBO show Eastbound and Down.
I'm very upset with how I'm acting right now. I just have a very hard time expressing my emotions, and I can't stop from yelling.
Or self-centered, spiteful losers like his character in the movie This Is the End.
I'm not an idiot. I know why you guys don't call me or hang out with me anymore. Because I party so hard.
But for all the foul-mouthed, all-American, lunk-headed bravado of his characters, they're also often sad and kind of sweet and vulnerable. At least just enough so that you don't completely despise them. He's got a new show on HBO called Vice Principals. He is its co-creator, co-writer of a lot of the episodes, and its co-star. He plays a vice principal at a high school in South Carolina. And speaking of school in the Carolinas, McBride's main collaborator on this show and most of his other projects is the writer and director Jody Hill, who was, it turns out, his freshman year roommate at the University of North Carolina School of the Arts.
You know, on Vice Principals, everyone from writers to the editor to the production designer to camera operators, they're all guys that we went to school
really?
With. Really? Yeah.
That's extraordinary.
You know, I think it really started at that school. You know, I think we knew that we were so far outside of the industry and we were sort of in this bubble in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, that it just created this work ethic where we always just helped each other no matter
right.
what. If you had a pull cable or, you know, how to go make a run or give a note on a script. Like, everybody was just always involved in everyone's projects, and that work ethic sort of has followed us, where anytime anybody, you know, is ready to do something, you have all these guys coming out of the woodwork that we've worked with for years.
And you were making films as an undergraduate, right?
We were. You know, I had a buddy that had gone to NYU, and that just wasn't in the cards for me. I just didn't have enough money to go to a school like that. And when I was applying for film school, you know, he had just graduated from NYU, and he was just kind of telling me how he was like $50,000 in debt because of his student loans. And he was just kind of hemming and hawing about how the rich kids at his school had the best movies, and so much of it was money-based. And I knew that that would not be an option for me. And School of the Arts was pretty incredible for the fact that when you made films there, they paid for your movies and you were not allowed to add anything to that budget. So everybody was on the same playing field, and it was cool. I think it prepared us for the world as well, that, like, you know, in independent cinema, you have a number and you have to stick with it. And I think that, you know, it helped groom us to be responsible filmmakers, I guess.
And your final film, your like senior thesis, was this movie called Eddie Noble and the Heroes?
Yeah, it was a superhero movie. Yeah.
Well, actually, we've watched it. We dug it out of the archives at
How dare you?
Alma mater, and hear it, and let's play a little bit of it for the listeners.
Oh no,
Eddie, come on, man, I'm scared.
Yeah, I'm scared too, Carl. But I just realized it's not because of Kate or Killian. It's because of what will become of us if we go back out there. I mean, what's out there for us guys? Some college and some desk job.
Eddie, really, we don't have time for this. Let's just go get some help.
We'll call the cops.
What are you guys talking about? We don't have time for the cops. I mean, we're the only ones who can stop him. If we go back now, he wins. I mean, guys, we've trained our whole lives for this. I mean, we wanted this more than anything in the world. I mean, if we go back, the superhero thing is over. We'll never know if we had what it took, so I'm going back.
So that was Danny McBride's first film, or first major film, I guess.
Riveting. I don't know if it's major, minor.
But it's not short. It actually lasts
20 minutes.
Yeah.
20 minutes, yeah. It probably feels like it lasts an hour, but, you know, that's by design.
No, it's complete. It's so sweet. It's about these, you know, young people being superheroes, and it's so kind of earnest and sweet, more sweet and earnest than you have been known for since.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, there are many shades to my personality.
You contain multitudes. I see that. So you go to this film school. You make this 20-minute film. It's sweet. It's funny. It's amusing. It's charming. Did you feel like, okay, I can do this now? I'm going to be a filmmaker and an actor?
I never thought I would be an actor. I really always imagined it would be behind the screen. And, you know, it's just something I've been passionate about since I was a kid. I mean, we would make, you know, home movies. You know, as soon as somebody got a video camera in our neighborhood, we would begin that stuff. And so it's just something I've always wanted to do. And, you know, I moved out to L.A. and a bunch of these guys came with me. And David Green, though, he graduated a year before us. And right after graduation, he brought the independent film George Washington to Winston. So we all like graduated from film school and then all worked on George Washington. And I was one of the second unit directors on it. And but that was a really good experience because I think it showed everybody that like, look, you know, David's just like us and he just made a film and people are seeing it. And it really was the spark that was needed right at a crucial moment to keep you invested in this dream.
You finish college, you move to L.A., you're earning a living as best you can in working in crews of essentially reality TV. Was that a happy time?
Definitely when I first moved to L.A., those first 3 years were like the hardest years of my life. I mean, I moved here with a girlfriend and then 3 months later I just had friends. And and I was working at like the Crocodile Cafe in Burbank. I was the night manager at a bar in Holiday at the Holiday Inn. And,
those sound like Danny McBride character jobs.
I've lived it. And, you know, then I was also a PA. I worked on a show called Battle Dome. And so I was just sort of just trying to make ends meet any way I could, and then I would escape every night when I'd come home and try to write. And so it was definitely a tough time. And L.A. is a hard city to be in if you're broke and you're not doing what you want to do. And so those years were definitely rough. But, you know, I think that's good. It all just builds character.
So after that, you made your first feature film with Jody Hill called The Foot Fist Way, in which you play this martial arts guy who is clinging to his job as a teacher because it's the only place he gets any respect in life.
And when you find a wife, you watch her. You don't believe a single word she says because at the core, people are shit. The only person that you can trust is me, your Taekwondo instructor.
And then the two of you, you and Jody Hill, went on to create the HBO series Eastbound and Down, where you play the ultimate egomaniac, Kenny Powers, this washed-up, former baseball player still trying to get back up in the world.
I'm the man who has the ball. I'm the man who can throw it faster than
So why do you guys like writing and you playing these characters who are so not great examples of American manhood?
You know, we sort of started this kind of storytelling back on Foot Fist Way, and it wasn't really something we had explored really in school or before that. I think it was kind of a byproduct of living in Los Angeles and trying to write what we thought the studios wanted. And there would always be these notes about likability, what sort of qualities a main character had to have.
Yeah.
And I think we took that as a battle cry. We think that people are open-minded enough that they don't need a checklist to invest in someone, you know, that if you can find that identifiable trait, even in the worst person, that's almost what makes this worth doing. And so I think that's kind of what we started to do was like, you know, let's take these characters that are unlike us or unlike people we'd ever want to spend time with,
right,
and let's figure out a way to make them human beings.
That's really interesting given that they are said in one way or another, the likability or an insufficient likability of characters is the kind of ultimate standard studio note. Which is what is so interesting about your characters is that even though they're complete jerks, you bring these glimpses of humanity that let us empathize with them a little, like in the first episode of Vice Principals, where your character has this terrible moment where he's explaining to his ex-wife's boyfriend and his daughter that he did not get the principal job he was up for.
They gave it to somebody else.
Oh, Neil, I hate that for you, man.
Why didn't they choose you?
Well, baby, when you're the person enforcing the laws, you don't get to make a lot of friends. Not a lot of people like me.
People like you?
No, I know it's hard to believe, but they don't.
That's Danny McBride with Shea Whigham and Maya Love in Vice Principals. Neil Gamby has a lot of flaws, but he's nowhere near as awful and unlikable as Kenny Powers was in Eastbound and Down. How come?
I think it's honestly just to make him identifiable. It's to make him a layered character. You know, I think that with Neil Gambi, he's a lot different than Kenny Powers in the sense that I think Neil really does think that what he's doing is in like the best interest of the school, and he's just very misguided. I think he is aware of you know, that he's not very likable, and I think he compensates by like trying to put up the wall of a tough guy. And you know, but I think it all is masking just great disappointment. You know, he's somebody who comes from a failed marriage, and he's worried that his daughter is going to invest in the stepdad more than him, and he doesn't have the respect he thinks he deserves at school. And in essence, that's what this whole show is ultimately about. It's about when we kind of find these shortcomings in our lives, it's very easy to like to make an enemy and to say that person's responsible for it. But ultimately, it's kind of like you need to take a look in the mirror a lot of times.
That's unusual for a comedy, isn't it?
I think it is, you know, and for us, it's like we never really look at this like it's a straight comedy. We honestly approach the writing as if it's a drama that has dick jokes in it. And so
yeah, it does. And much other profanity. But then, of course, dramas have profanity as well. Your character has these wonderful, elaborate, profane exchanges with the other vice principal, who is played by the extraordinary Walton Goggins.
Why is this job so important to you, Gambi? Is it because you got absolutely all else going on in your life?
You wish you had my life.
A divorce loser is what you are. Look at you. Just rock hard at the thought of all that power.
I know you like to think about my but don't. It's private property.
Eat Gambi.
No, thank you. But have fun imagining it, though.
I mean, are those written? Because they go on so crazily long, I could imagine that they were partly improvised.
They're written, but then we'll also kind of toss those around. And like, you know, Neil Gambi is not supposed to be very intelligent, and so he definitely doesn't have a quick wit to him. So a lot of times when we'd get into those things, I would like what was written was almost too witty for him. And so I would just take those out and just sort of try to stutter or just try to repeat back whatever the insult was that Walton threw my way just to make it sound just clunky and just like this guy's not good at doing this.
Right. This profanophilia, if that's a word, is a thing in your first film and with Jody Hill, The Foot Fist Way. The main character, Fred, as he's finally leaving his wife, who has been cheating on him throughout the movie, says this.
I don't care if you wake up in a ditch with grown men shitting on you and jumping on top of your head.
Maybe your nose will turn to a big old and you can stroke that all the time.
I hope your hair turns into dog one day.
Now, I mean, it's just so kind of baroque and crazy. Why do you love those things so much?
You know what's funny? I think it's because my friends swear so much that we don't even really realize how much we're putting in the shows until, like, my parents will call and be like, God, you guys have to cuss so much. And I'm like, are we cussing a lot? I didn't know that we were. And then it's like, oh, yeah, we've cussed a lot in this. I don't know. I feel like Southerners can cuss in a way that just almost makes it sound like poetry. So I think we just kind of channel that.
You have children now, small children. When do they get to watch your shows?
They don't ever. even when they're grown people, I'll have it banned. I have a 4-year-old son and a 1-year-old daughter. And my son was actually able to see the first thing that he's ever been able to see with me, which is the Angry Birds movie. So that was a big moment for us.
There you go. Danny McBride, it has been a pleasure. And I can't wait to see the rest of this season and this series.
Thanks, Luck. I appreciate it.
Vice Principals is on HBO right now.